everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store that can deliver all your grocery needs to your Disney resort. So contact The Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. The show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at a DVC resort at a reduced rate, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. And the show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub. All aboard.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Good morning, Doug.
And we're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters. Your stool's waiting for you. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing very well. We're getting ready to talk Disney. How bad could it be?
Bingo.
Always the highlight of my weekends.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You just know what to say to a girl, don't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to talk Disney last night, too. You know, our good friend Disney Dave, you know, on Twitter, you know, our buddy from Hawaii that's always breaking our stones about, quit crying about the weather.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good friend of the show. Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Hawaii. Well, he's doing a show called Aloha Disney 808. And he asked me to come on and talk about Riverside. And you guys know how much I hate to go on and 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 on about Riverside.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you even thought to talk about, Doug. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, he goes, you know that place pretty well. I said, you think?
Yeah, that's a topic you don't need to do any homework for, that's for sure.
No, it was good. He sent me over all these, you know, questions because he goes, because he talked about how he edits everything. He asked me at the end of the show, is there anything I want taken out? And I was like, no, what we do. I said, we add idiot stuff that we say. But no, he does a really good job. He knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like us knuckleheads.
No. Okay. Is his show on iTunes already? Is it downloadable?
Yeah, okay, so he has a couple episodes. He does a great job. Well, I'm just kidding. Like, he sent me out some questions he thought he would ask me, and I didn't even have to read them because of how much I know that resort. It was so much fun. It was a great time. We had fun talking Disney, and he was rubbing in with living 15 minutes from Alani.
Well, I'll definitely, after the show today, subscribe to his podcast and check out your show. Is your show coming out this week? Or
I think it's a couple weeks away. He has a couple interviews before me. But the last episode one's only about 8-10 minutes. It tells you about him, you know, the little forward. And then number two, he's actually over. It tells you all about Alani, which I found that very interesting. And, John, I would highly recommend you listen to it with being a travel agent and all.
Yeah, yeah.
Every little bit helps. That's what I enjoyed about it because, you know, we've both watched all the videos. We've done our tests on Alani. But it's totally different coming from somebody that really is there and loves being there, if you follow me. He gives his own little, you know, things that he loves. You know what I'm saying? He tells a little better story than what the Disney. This Disney site is more, you know, to the fact. It's not. So I would highly recommend any travel agent or whatever to head over there if you want to know about Alani. It gives you another aspect of Alani, is the way I think.
Yeah, you're kind of hearing a local's perspective as opposed to just, you know, somebody that's just promoting Disney.
Yes, and it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I told, you know, many stories. I told the story about it being Dixieland and in the whole nine yards because he's never stayed there. He's DVC. He's been to Disney World a couple times. His home resort is Disneyland, you know, and that's the one he grew up going to. But Disney World, he's just started going the past few years, and he loves it. But with being DVC, that's the one thing that does drive me nuts with what happens to you guys. It costs you more to pay for in points and money than if you stayed at the Grand Floridian, if you guys use your points to stay at Riverside.
Yep. The moral of that story is they do not want you to use your points to stay at the moderates or anywhere else. And if you do, they make it painful for you.
And I remember when I got the first catalog, too. Like, you know how they make it sound like they want you to travel the world with DVC? But they really don't. Because, like, me and Brenda, we looked into it a few times. I have all the books. I've had a couple agents calling me the whole nine yards because we were thinking about it until I became a TA. And, right. The stay in New York City, if you use your points, then you know that whacks you over the head.
Oh, yeah, I did it, and the points are sick. I mean, you look at the nice catalogs, and you're right, Doug. I mean, I'm sure there are people that have enough points to be able to, you know, travel and do all those things. But, I mean, I there's no way I could afford to purchase as many points as it would take to do some of those beautiful vacations you see in those catalogs. It's just undoable for my family. I couldn't afford it.
And I ain't turning this into a commercial, even though David's is our sponsor. But now that you know about them, it would actually be better for you to sell your points to them than to use them.
Take the cash and then pay for that hotel room or pay for that cruise that you want to go on instead of using the points on them. That's just a bad idea to use your points for anything other than staying at the Disney resorts.
Right.
So. Because, like, with what it was, I forget, I'm just exaggerating here, but, like, the stay in New York City was, like, 48 points a night or something. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, we actually did it, Doug, and I cried the whole weekend because I knew how many points I could have done, like 2.5 trips to Disney World for what it cost me for 2 days in New York City. It was ridiculous.
Exactly. So in retrospect, you'd have been better off paying because when you add those points up, you'd be better off paying the $400 a night to stay at the New York hotel than use your points.
Yes, it would have been, but, you know, it was a money issue then, and it was we were looking at it. It was prepaid, and, you know, it was just one of those things. We did it, but you're right. It wasn't a good value, as at least from looking at it from the perspective of you could have gone to Disney World 2.5 more times with what I paid for 2 days.
Yeah, so, I mean, because Scott had the same thing happen to him with the Disney cruise. He used his points to do a cruise, and he found out about David's after. He's like, man, I wish I'd have known about, or any other broker, if you tell me. But the point was, is he said, Doug, I don't even want to tell you, if I counted the points, what this cruise actually cost me in my points. It's same thing. Then he goes, the cruise was awesome, but he could have sold the points, and it cost him a quarter of what it actually cost him in point value. Because you guys know how much a single point costs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's a lot of coin, but yeah, he has never stayed at Riverside to get back around to it because of his DVC. Mm-hmm. But he said, I told him he has to get over there, especially with his daughter and his wife, and see Yeehaw Bob and experience the place. And I described the whole, like, he asked me if the lobby's as grand as, you know, the animal and stuff like that. And you guys need to go over there and listen in when it does come out, because I don't want to give the whole show away, but we had a really good time. He made me go out and buy Kona beer, so I didn't drink Victory.
Okay.
No. But I ended up, I didn't have any Kona longboards in the house. I did have my Victory Hellas. But I figured to get in the theme of things, I did run up to the liquor store and bought myself a six-pack of Kona longboard so I could be in the Aloha spirit.
Yeah, that's not bad beer. I've had that before. You guys have had it before, I assume?
Yeah, I love the longboard. The lager, it's very good. It's a good beer. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I had that with a Kahlua pork slider.
Nice.
And then I had the other one, John, and that one was, I didn't like that one. I forget which one, the other one I had.
Yeah, there's the longboard lager, there's a pipeline porter, and there's a...
there's an IPA sun, or something.
Yeah, a sunset ale or something like I think.
That's what I had, the sunset ale. That was like, chewy. I'm a big baby, you guys know. I had the... Speaking of baby, but they aren't babies. They were very, very good. My wife actually enjoyed it. Did you guys see that I had the cage rattler over the weekend?
Yes.
We saw that. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, it was very, very good. My wife really enjoyed it, too. You can really taste the citrus, and it's kind of carbonated, too. It reminds me because it has the orange soda in it, or the citrus soda. What they do is a blend of, like, they turn it into, like, a soda form. It's carbonated. It tastes like, with the beer... Dude, soda, beer, my two favorite things in life. Or wait, two of my favorite things in life. My wife is my favorite thing in life. But soda and beer, that's a good combination for me.
Sounds like a spiked up Mountain Dew or something. So there you go, right?
Yeah, and well, what's good about it is my wife was even saying that it would be nice to have some crab or some fish with it, with the citrus.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a nice combination. It's only 3% alcohol, guys. So you're not going to go. It really don't rattle your cage. You know, but it's a nice drink on a summer day. Like, John, we were talking about the grapefruit over in Germany the other day.
Yeah, the Schopenhofer, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I mean, it's a nice, relaxing drink on a hot summer day. Because I'd rather have a six-pack of that than pound one heavy beer during a summer day. You know what I mean? You can stretch it out and not get train wrecked with it.
Right, yep. Right. Or at least till after your chores are done.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't suggest drinking anything and operating heavy machinery, but if you're, you know, raking around the yard, hanging out around the yard, doing some yard work, and you could drink a couple of these and they won't even affect you, especially if you're moving like that. You know, and it's not going to, you're going to keep it, work it right off. It's going to come right out of you, but it's a good refreshing drink. I highly recommend it. I will have Cage Rattlers in the refrigerator all the time.
Yeah, that sounds like, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, that sounds like that would be a fantastic one for a room beer, you know, at a resort, and take down to the pool and have one or two by the pool. It sounds great. So.
Absolutely. What were you going to say, Dan?
No, I'm just going to say, I'm going to type that into my Victory Beer Finder and see if there's any around here, and I'll pick some up.
Yeah, because it's something that you could have with, like, you know, because me and Brenda, you know, and I know you guys too, you just love fish. We could seriously see you sitting out on the patio drinking a couple of them, and it's not even going to affect your night, because I like to drink different things, but I've told you guys this before. I don't like being drunk. I don't like that. I feel, and I'm weird, I feel like I'm the man of the house, and I don't ever feel like I should be out of control. I feel like I feel like if anything goes wrong in the house, I should be capable of fixing it. I shouldn't be out of my mind. You know, if a pipe breaks, somebody's beating on the door, mom needs me, or somebody needs me, I don't ever want to be to the point where I'm dysfunctional. So three beers is my limit anyway. So, you know, two or three beers, and most of the time it's two. So, but that's just me. But this is a nice drink that I can enjoy. Takes a little edge off after a long day of work, but I'm not getting wrecked either, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah, well, just stay away from the V12 then.
No.
Yeah.
Homie, don't play that. You know, I'm not going there. So what else is new with you guys? Anything?
No, everything's good. Beautiful weekend up here and getting a bunch of yard work done. Finally got my mower back, so I'm happy.
And hey.
I can cut my grass. I cut it the day. I picked it up on Friday afternoon, and I cut it, and I may cut it again just because I can.
Oh, that's so sad. 3 weeks and $200 later, how much did he finally nail you for that?
What was it? It was $210, and actually I was at Home Depot yesterday, Doug, and I was looking at the entry-level lawnmowers, and there were some for, I could have got a new mower for, it wouldn't have been a, you know, self-propelled or anything like that, but I could have definitely got a new mower for what it cost me in a repair part. So hopefully I can get 2, 3, 4 years out of this thing now, because I put way too much money into it.
I suggest you run none but super in it then.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. You're right. I just had a little bit of gas left from that I bought earlier in the spring, but I'm going to get premium when I fill up again.
It's worth it. Make sure that, and I'm all honesty, because I've been told about this, make sure that jug of yours is completely clean of everything. I've even gone to the point where I buy new jugs now every year, start of the season. It's worth
really?
It. It's worth it, because what happens is when they sit, all that dirt built in it, like, takes the goo at the bottom of your can. Like, look in the bottom of your can when you empty it. You're going to see stains. And so, I don't even want to deal with it. It's worth the $5 or $8 to buy the can.
Right. And then when you put the new gas in, it agitates whatever's stuck to the can, and then that stuff gets stuck in your carburetor and all that good stuff, right?
Exactly. So it's worth the $8 investment to buy a new gas.
I never have to worry about any of that, because we use gas so much on the lawnmower. I mean, it all year long, so it never sits. So.
It's continually running almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, that's what happened with us, John. We got, like, unless you're using your snowblower, which, you know, that ain't every week either, you'll have gas sitting in these jugs, and then the jugs sit empty. And then all that stuff dries up at the bottom of them, and And then I'm always afraid of, you don't want to shoot water in them, because what if some water stays in there? I'm getting water in my gas, so I just throw the thing out and buy two new ones now every year. It's just easier for me.
Yeah. All right. Let's not turn this into part two of lawn small engine repair.
But anyway, let's go real quick to John. John actually did some sheetrocking this week, and he got his shower fixed. Remember we talked about that? How'd you get John the drywall man?
No, I wouldn't go that far. It ended up being we got in there, I got the pieces out, and there was a bit more rotten than I thought, so ended up having to run back up to Lowe's to buy another 20-25 friggin' tiles, because ended up needing to replace, I think, 54 of them, and so I had only bought, like, 32. So another trip there just to get more tiles, got back, got the piece of sheetrock or purple board cut to put in, realized that not a single drill I have around the house freaking works anymore. Because I've got all these power tools that I've bought. I used to work at an auction, do the clerking at an auction, and I did it for about 7 years, and I bought gobs and gobs and gobs of power tools at the auction because they came through at a good price.
That's where he has his in for all his Disney stuff that he finds, too.
Yeah.
He has connections. But that's how he's always on the Disney, on the eBay selling Disney stuff.
Some of it, yeah, you're right. So all these power tools I have, not a single one of them would take a charge on the battery anymore. So that's why they would go through the auctions, I suppose, and I got them for a good price. So I decided I had to go buy me another drill. So another trip up to the hardware store to buy a new drill, got back, and finally got it all put into place. But when I went to cut the purple board outside, I put it on top of a pair of my stall horses, and I store them outside. And as soon as I plop them down, red ants, big headed red ants, come busting out the bottom, all over my legs. So it was quite the experience. It was quite fun, but
typical homeowner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my son's buddies came over at the time, and they were watching me in there, and as I looked at him and I said, look, this whole American dream home ownership stuff, it's way overrated, buddies. Rent an apartment.
And he was telling me yesterday how much fun he was having cutting that sheetrock.
Oh, I think you mentioned that a couple of shows ago, Doug. It is funny. Oh, we were talking the other day how when you first buy your house, you're all pumped up and happy and, you know, you're a piece of the American dream and all that stuff. And, you know, put about 10, fast forward 10 years and that gets old real quick. I totally agree with you, John. I could stand a condo or something like that now.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Come home from work and not have to worry about any of that stuff.
I'd love to have a little town home with a patio out, you know, patio to have my grill and a little spot for the dog to go.
That's exactly what I want. I just need him a little 10 by 10 area, 8 by 10 area, so he can do his business. I can throw some steaks on the grill, and I'm off to Disney. I don't want to be doing yard work.
Exactly.
It's overrated. You're absolutely right, John.
I'm thinking that entire time yesterday, I'm thinking of the money and the effort and the time I'm putting into this, and I'm going, me and Lisa could be at friggin' Disney with the money I put on this, having a great time, but, you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, my car is not working. Take care of that, will you?
See, the thing that I'll be happy about is I won't even have to call. I'll call him up and say, listen, I'll fix it for $200 off the rent. Done.
There you go.
And I'll be out to make money as I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? At least it'll be a little more. I'll enjoy it a little bit if I'm making cash off it. If I don't want to do it, I could just say call this guy. But we need to rent three in a row so we don't get knuckleheads living next to us.
Yeah, that's the biggest detraction from living like that. You know, once you have your own property and you kind of have a buffer from your neighbors and, you know, you have your land, when you go to a townhouse, if you end up getting next to somebody that you don't get along with, that can be that could be trouble.
Especially for me with this mail.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Doug getting in trouble with anybody.
No, not my mail.
Doug's right. Me, you, and Bob got to move in all around him, above him, below him, so we can buffer him from everyone else.
There you go. Put Doug in the middle. We got to protect him.
but I'll protect you too. I'll help you with your houses. We need the four of us to move into one building. It needs to be a four-unit building. It will be phenomenal. 10 minutes from the park.
Well, that'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet.
We got to find it, guys. So let's get into the Disney news then before we get cut off from the Disney community.
Yeah, okay. A couple of things going on down there. Not a whole lot this week, but I guess earlier in the week, the Black Diamond Jet team flew over Walt Disney World for the, what was this for? It was on May 19th, which was yesterday. But it was part of the 2017 Special Olympics State Summer Games opening ceremony. The flyover took place just before 8 p.m. at the ESPN Wide World of Sports. The Black Diamond Jet team is a civilian-owned aerobatic jet team featuring five L-39s and one T-33. All painted in a distinctive Arctic camouflage paint scheme, piloted by former military fighter pilots from the U.S. Navy and U.S. In the Air Force. The team is based in nearby Lakeland, Florida. You ever seen these guys, John, down there?
I must have seen their jets, I would imagine, flying by, but no, I've never actually stopped there. But yeah, Lakeland has that big Sun and Fun fly-in every year, so there's a lot of aircraft stuff that goes around in and around at Lakeland, so I'm not surprised they're based out of there.
Yeah, it's really cool that Disney holds the Special Olympic Games down there. That's really cool. If we moved down there, I'd like to go over and see that someday, because all those people are so, I don't know how to put it, but they're so, what the word I'm looking for, inspiring, just to see the effort and how they work that hard. I would like to go over and cheer them on one day, you know, if we live down there.
I mean, some of those people do more than I can do, and they have all kinds of ailments and illnesses, and it is inspiring to see those people, you know, compete and race and do all that stuff that they do. I would definitely, like you always say, Doug, it's something you do when you live down there. Absolutely. When you don't have the pressure of getting to the park and doing everything you want to do all in 1 week or 2 weeks a year, you can definitely take an afternoon or something and go over to ESPN, Wide World of Sports, and check out some of the events that they're putting on.
It'll be just nice to take your hat off for them and cheer them on, because, you know, God bless them, what they do.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, we had one of them, speaking of flyovers, me and my wife yesterday, we're in the kitchen, and the whole house starts shaking. We had one of those dual-prop Army helicopters fly over our house, and he was so low, I thought there was somebody criminal running through the woods or something. I mean, my whole house shook. Do you ever see how big they are when they get down that low? It's bigger than my house.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I have an airport not too far from me, so I see all kinds of air, you know, helicopters and such. And you're right, sometimes they get kind of low. You can almost wave to the pilot.
I thought I was going to be up yesterday and my house was going to start going off, you know, with the way those props are sucking. Everything was shaking. The trees were moving. We were like, holy crap. Why is he so low? But, speaking of that, did you guys see the new cartoon coming out, Emojis?
I have not.
I've seen the commercial the other night. It reminds me so much of, what was the one that Disney did about the feelings?
Inside Out?
Inside Out, yeah. I'm like, when you guys see the preview, I swear it reminds me of, they took that idea and just ran with it. It looks funny as heck. But I was like, I thought at first it was part two of Inside Out when I was hearing in the background. So check that out when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll have to see the first one first.
Well, you didn't see Inside Out?
No, you said it was good, though. I remember you saying that you enjoyed it. You said that it surprised you. It was much better than you thought it was going to be, I guess.
It was good. Well, I said that about Big Hero 6. Inside Out, it was the opposite. I thought more it was going to be more than what it was. It was weird. Did you see that one, John?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What was your thoughts on it?
I liked it. I thought it's a shame that the Life Pavilion still wasn't out at Epcot, because I think that would have been a perfect fit for some of the characters to fit right in there. So, but yeah, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't one of my favorite Disney movies, but
exactly.
It was okay.
There were some funny parts, but there was also the parts in it that it kind of got slow for a while. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was definitely some slower sections of it. So.
And the elephant freaked me out, whatever his name was, man. I mean, he reminded me where he should be in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
But sorry to cut you off, then. That's what I do here.
quite all right. That's what we want to do, flesh out these stories. Go ahead, John.
Speaking of Disney movies, did you do your homework yet there, Dennis?
No, I'm bad. I movies and emails, I'm behind on a bunch of things, but I'll get to them.
Yes. Yeah, he knows he's in trouble, do you see?
Yeah, I'm in trouble. Stitch's Great Escape to operate during the summer, along with Stitch Meet and Greet. I think we mentioned this a few shows ago. Stitch's Great Escape at the Magic Kingdom will reopen once again next week for the summer. The Tomorrowland attraction will open May 27th through to August 19th, 2017. Operating hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. My guess is they're trying to take some pressure off of Pandora, so they're going to open this up and see if they three or four people to go over there and experience all that is Stitch's Great Escape.
You know, I was thinking on our trip, I was going to head over to Pandora and see the new attractions, but man, now I know Stitch is open.
Stitch's Great Escape moved to seasonal operation on October 2nd, 2016, and has been linked with a Wreck-It Ralph attraction replacement. You can read more about that and go online. Disney has not made any announcements regarding the attraction's future, so this is under the rumor mill for right now. Stitch will also be appearing daily near the Carousel of Progress for a meet and greet throughout the summer, so you can get your fill of the little blue guy.
I'd be more into the meet and greet with him than I am the ride. Because yeah. He's cool looking. I like Stitch as far as that, but tell me, why is it only open to 6 p.m. during the summer? They can't extend until park closes. I mean,
yeah, budget cuts. Yeah, they can't do it.
I mean, the curtain's so bad, it opens at 10 and closes at 6. It's like, you know, just have the stupid thing open all day if you're going to reopen it with everything else in Tomorrowland.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Stitch, and I did. I kind of enjoyed the movie. My kids were at that age when it came out that we watched it multiple times. But what I didn't like about Stitch, and I'm sure you guys remember this, is when they had Stitch's voice on the monorail spiel there for a while, he'd interrupt and butt in and kind of, you know, do some comedy. Yeah, I didn't enjoy that. That messed with my, you know, monorail spiel, and I wasn't liking that.
You didn't care for the graffiti on the castle either, then, when they opened the attraction, did you?
No, not at all. I mean, there's a time and place for characters, and, you know, and he is kind of a wise you-know-what, and that's part of his, personality, I guess. So I understand it, but to me, it went over the line. For me, anyways.
And people wonder why they call us Waldorf. What's Dennis's name, John?
Stadler.
Stadler.
There you go.
They wonder why they call you Stadler, Dennis.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Exactly. We just got to find. We can't keep John as the rat. We got to come up with a name for John. We got to figure out who he actually is. Because me and Dennis know for sure we're Waldorf and Stadler.
Yeah, we'll find somebody. Beaker.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, attractions beyond Pandora included in Animal Kingdom's extra evening extra magic hours next weekend. So for Pandora's opening weekend, Disney's Animal Kingdom evening extra magic hours will include additional attractions outside of Pandora. From May 27th to the 29th, Expedition Everest, Primeval World, Triceratops Spin, Fossil Fun Games, Tree of Life Awakenings, River of Light, and Discovery Island Carnival will all be available in addition to Pandora, the World of Avatar.
So then basically, I'll be watching the Tree of Life the entire time. Or River of Life. I'm not doing anything else.
Then from May 30th to July 4th, Evening Extra Magic Hours, is expected to be limited to just Pandora, the World of Avatar. During Extra Magic Hours at Disney's Animal Kingdom, will take place from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. and is exclusive to Walt Disney World hotel guests. And, so I guess they're, you know, going to cut back after this launches and the mass of people kind of, you know, get their fill of it. But I think it's going to be busy for a year or years before you see any drop-off. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, I honestly think they're going to have to probably... They're going to fool themselves. They're going to have to open these other rides even longer than those couple days, in my opinion. I mean, there's going to be way too many people in Pandora. I think it's going to be packed. I mean, I think this that Banshee ride is one of the most anticipated things that I can remember at Disney.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, you know, not at Disney World, but I was thinking of it. I mean, other than that, is that water park opening this summer, John? Is that
Universal? Yeah, it's opening the same. Supposedly, they're supposed to be opening the same weekend that Pandora has its grand opening.
So. Okay. And that's what I was going to... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they, I'm sure they accidentally set that up. So.
Yeah. No, but I was just saying, not only... this is the only... a Disney, new Disney attraction, I should say, that's opening up. But other than that water park, you know, Universal isn't opening up a Harry Potter or anything else that would take away from, you know, masses of people going there. So I agree with you, Doug. I think they're going to have to keep some of these attractions open for, you know, to just take the pressure off of Pandora. I mean, everyone's not going to get fast passes. They're going to be shut out every day. And people, you know, other than eat, they're going to need something else to do. So I could see them extending these or adding, you know, length of the day to them, or even multiple weeks or months after Pandora opens.
Yeah, I don't get why the Tree of Life Awakening's on, but you can't go in and see Tough to Be a Bug.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at least keep that whole center area open where the Tree of Life, the Oasis, all that area open during, at least everything leading back to Pandora, if you follow me.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Separate four animals. Let them go to sleep, for goodness sake.
Yeah, yeah, and if you're going to have Primeval World and stuff open, why wouldn't you have
Dinosaur
open? Yeah, I mean, that's a dark ride. There's no reason why it would have to be closed. So.
It makes no sense not to have Dinosaur open. You're 100% right, John. I mean, who the hell wants to walk back there for Trailstop Spin in Primeval World?
No, thank you.
I mean, I wouldn't even go back there. I have no interest. I hate them two rides so much, I close my eyes when I walk by them. I don't even want to see them. I look away. Look away. Yeah. I remember me and my best friend Billy, when we were kids, we used to hate Star Trek so much that we were switching through the channels, and that would come on. We'd both pretend we were being like Kryptonite, the Superman. We'd have a fight to get to the TV to get the channel changed. That's what I feel like when I'm around Primeval World. And those... Trailstop Spin's not too bad. The Dinosaurs is fine. But the Primeval World is ridiculous to me. Yeah. I hate that ride. With all my fibers in my being. I know Walt was alive. First thing he would do is rip that piece of crap out of there.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it never would have been built to begin with.
Exactly. The whole reason Disney World was built because he didn't want carnival rides. And what they do, they put two carnival rides in.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Dinosaurs is more like Dumbo and... you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trailstop Spin. That's okay. I don't hate that ride. It's just Primeval World just is nuts to me. And again, why wouldn't you have Dinosaurs open? You know how much that would take pressure off? I would be definitely going over to go on that. Especially, it's weird. Like, as crazy as it sounds, even though that's an inside ride, going on at nighttime even gives it another edge if going in there at dark.
Does that make sense to you? Walking back there would kind of be creepy because, you know, they have that, what is it, Cretaceous Trail or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you wander past all them dinosaurs and there's some noises in the bush and stuff. And
it just
in the dark, it'd be kind of creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, it just gives it a whole other, it gives the whole ride a whole other, it gives it a re-rideability, if that makes sense. It, like, changes it for you, even though it's inside. And I wouldn't even mind doing Everest at night just to give it a different view. I think it would be cool, especially with, Tree of Life Awakenings going on, or if you could see, Rivers of Lights while you're riding, I think that would be pretty cool.
Absolutely. A great vantage point, depending on what the sight lines are, but I think you should be able to see that from up top there. Absolutely.
And I would go through the entire queue. Thank you.
The best part of that attraction, says Doug.
Absolutely.
Says Doug.
It cracked me up, too. I forget what show it was on, and they kind of stole our thunder saying, you need to go through the queues, they're half the ride. Have we not been preaching that for 4 years now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a mantra of our show, so we got to take credit for that.
Yeah, I've been crying, and you have been too, about, go through the queues, and you're missing half the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Disney Imagineers spend so much time and effort in putting all these great props. And, you know, there's still stuff in some of these queue lines that, I don't even understand. But if you take the time to you know, read them or look at them and try to figure out how it links to the story or the attraction you're about to experience. It's pretty, you have an aha moment when you finally get it and you say, okay, that makes sense. And you might have been staring at this, you know, jug or some sort of, you know, knickknack or some crazy thing that's in the queue line and say, yeah, that's stupid. Why is that there? But come to find out, it makes perfect sense if you try to find out or you do some research and find out, you know, the backstory to some of these multi-billion dollar attractions because, like I said, they spent a lot of time putting that stuff in there.
Yeah, it wasn't our friend. It was one of the videos I watched on YouTube, and it wasn't our friends, Carmen or Brian over at Peas and Carrots or Happiest Vlogs. It was another one. It was actually, I watched one for one of the first times I've seen it, and they did a good job. But they did they actually went through Frozen because it was one of the, it poured out. So they got to go right on Frozen, him and his buddy, and they didn't hit any crowds at all. So they didn't have, it was the first time they did it without Fast Pass. And they went through the main line, and they were talking about the queue had so much to the ride. I'm like, really? I mean, you know, they said it enhances the ride. I said, well, that's the whole idea of it. That's why I say sometimes the Fast Pass, you're missing half the fun.
Less than Soarin'.
Yeah, true. True.
That's about
it. I mean, we saw on Mine Train the great job that the Imagineers did with that, with the, you know, the video games, and not the video games, with the monitors and the, you know, cleaning the gems and stuff and all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool, you know, and if you got to be in a line, you might as well enjoy some of the stuff they put in there because that's why it's there, to kind of divert your attention a little bit to thinking about how long you've been standing in this line.
Oh, it just geeks me out, too, with things like even the way that Disney puts the different fans up that actually go with the ride. You know, the whole decor is in, like, I look at all that stuff. I look at the posts, the beams. So for me, it's even more of a geek out as far as with being a contractor, the stuff I look at, the way they mortar certain things, the way they cut certain things, the materials they use. I enjoy being in the line. I'm not saying for hours. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not a total idiot. But you know, I don't mind a 20-minute wait to get to explore the queue myself.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the fans, I'm thinking specifically about, like, the ones that are in the Big Thunder Mountain. Some of them, the housings are, like, bent and the paint is all rusted or, you know, they've painted it to look as if it's rusted. And, you know, they look like junky fans, but they're put there for a reason. You know, they could have just threw a contemporary fan up there and it probably, you know, it'd serve the same purpose, but it would look kind of out of place. So they go to the time and trouble to actually, you know, antique them, if you will, to make them look, you know, like they belong there.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, the things I like you're going on Mine Train or Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and you're looking at all the stuff along the way. If you actually take the time to look, I swear I'm the pain in the butt in the line that the line moves and I'm still standing there and I get the yawns and the sighs behind me. Is this guy going to move again? And I apologize probably 10 times and I'm sorry, but I'm enjoying myself. Maybe you ought to be looking too and freeze the line up for a couple minutes instead of complaining.
I think you've said you even let people pass by you at times.
Absolutely I do. I'm there to enjoy. I try to pick up every aspect I can. And speaking of that, a good show the other day that our good buddy Lou did was on the new lounge, and me and my wife were very excited about trying that. Did you guys see anything about the Geyser Point Bar and Grill over there at the Wilderness Lodge?
Oh, I did not. I thought you were going to mention the Compass and Ale store. We're going to cover it later on in the news, but that's a store. So, no, I did not, to answer your question.
This is like close to the top of my list of wanting to try. He went over there with his wife and kids, but even before he went there, I was like reading the menu and because of it being right on the water. And if you guys get a chance, hop on YouTube and check out the video of this place. Dude, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's entirely open air, and it looks right over the lake. I mean, it looks absolutely beautiful. And the food, they have crab cake sandwiches, salmon BLTs. I mean, they have a little bit of everything on the plate. I mean, they have smoked turkey sandwiches, bacon cheeseburgers, bison burgers, and they have things for kids. They have, you know, alcohol served, draft beer, right? But the beauty of it, the food looked phenomenal. It's all pub grub, which is right up our lane. We're blue collar guys. We serve pub grub here at the pub.
Right.
So it just it went to the top of my list just because of the beauty of it and the relaxation of it. I next trip, it's 100% one of the places I'm headed. And they raved about everything. Like Lou and his family, they tried 5 or 6 things.
So now this is a lounge that has food offered. Is that how it is, or?
Yeah, and it's set up. It's really big, Dan. There's like all seating outside. It's a big bar, dude. It's really big, and the way it's set up too is even if it's inclement weather, mm-hmm. all the panels will come down, and it's an inside bar.
Now, is it like bigger than the boathouses bar that sets out in the water there, or bigger than that?
Yes. To me, it looks bigger than that, yes.
Okay.
In the video I seen, it's pretty huge because there's a bunch of outdoor tables right on the water. There's a beautiful little stream that runs down, that runs out into Crescent Lake there, out into the lake there.
Yep.
And it is absolutely beautiful there.
No, you know what, that sounds like a great spot when you're at the Magic Kingdom on a hot mm-hmm. afternoon and you see the storm coming up. Be a great place to go over, get a beer, sit out, and watch the storm build up across the lake. You know,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where I could see myself, not even if there wasn't a storm, to just, like we always talk about, everybody forgets about the resorts around the Magic Kingdom. Go enjoy one of these restaurants.
Right. So if you take the boat from the Magic Kingdom, one of the flag boats, it'll drop you off, I'm guessing, pretty close to this place, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's built as part of all the new DVC that they added over there.
Okay,
all right. With that, and dude, it really looks good. The prices, the prices are very, very, very good for custom-made stuff. It's considered casual, a grab-and-go lounge and quick serve. Like, you can do, like, the Contempo Cafe where you go up and order and take a number and they'll deliver it to your table, or you can sit at the table and wait for a waitress to bring it over to you.
No, the more you speak of this, I'm really getting excited for it because, like John said, it is a good place to get away from the hustle and bustle of the Magic Kingdom, but you're still close enough where you can probably hear the ambient, background noise from Main Street or maybe the train's whistle or something while you're sitting there. And like John said, maybe have a couple of beers, a little, a sandwich or something, and then head back over to the Magic Kingdom. So, yeah, Doug, this sounds like a great place to do that and, kind of be out in the wilderness, but yet a stone's throw away from a mass of humanity in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, because they have a little of everything, then. They got grilled portobello salad, which is $9.99. They got a grilled chicken salad, $12.49, a grilled salmon salad for $12.49. And then they have a seasonal fruit plate for $8.99. The lump crab cake sandwich, which I've seen video of, which looks phenomenal. It has, Dennis, I know you're going to love that. I know John will. It has house-made Canadian bacon and spicy cabbage carrot slaw on top of it.
Mm.
For $13.99. Grilled salmon BLT is $12.49. Turkey, smoked turkey sandwich is only $9.99. The cheeseburger is $12.49. And the bison cheeseburger is $13.49. And all these are served with the waffle fries.
Oh, okay. So you don't get your lousy Disney chips.
You can choose them on some of the things that they have if you want them. But the point of it is for $13.99 to go get a lump crab cake sandwich, that's not a bad deal. And take a beautiful boat ride over to the resort and get out of the crowds.
No, that sounds right. What is the name again?
It's the Geyser Point Bar and Grill.
Okay. Definitely going to check that out. And obviously, you don't need an ADR. It's walk-up. It's just quick service, right?
Yep. And John, I'll give you the beers because I know you want to know what beer they have here. They have Bud Light, which is your favorite.
No. Yeah.
They have the Rogue Dead Guy Ale. Have you ever had that?
Yes, of course.
And they have the Windmere Heffenweizen. Have you had that? Okay. Or the Widemere Heffenweizen.
Yes, I have had that one too. Yes, that's a good one.
Ellison Space Dust IPA.
I just had that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my God, you got issues. Which one would you choose out of those ones?
If I was going to get the burger, I'd go with the IPA. If I was going to get the crab cake, I'd probably go with maybe the Saison. or the I mean the which the second one that you said, I forgot.
The Rogue Dead Gael.
Yeah, yeah, that one or the other one. So, but yeah, the burger would go great with that Space Dust IPA. So.
Hey Dan, I think me and you're both getting the Bud Light, aren't we?
Yeah. maybe. I think the other one was a Hefeweizen or something.
Yeah, the Hefeweizen, that would go pretty well with the crab cakes. So.
Yeah.
No, but sorry to interrupt you with this quick news break on the Geyser Point Bar and Grill.
No,
let's get that in there. I just thought it was a good good update to give some of our listeners to head over there, because I know I want to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the whole point of this news show, is to keep our listeners up to date on what's going on down there. And sometimes the feed that we get doesn't cover all the stories or that. So when you have something like that, it's great to drop it in.
Well, the thing of it is look how much we know, and you didn't even really know this was open.
Right, exactly. So it goes to show you, unless you're on Twitter or on the Disney blog, or, you know, you're plugged in, if you will, 24/7, you can miss something. If you just go off the grid for 3-4 hours, you could miss something. Am I right?
Absolutely. But I honestly, not to keep repeating myself, this would really be, I mean, take your, especially, not, I know, maybe you don't want to drag the kids over if you got young kids or whatever, but if it's just you and your wife, or you know, and you want something different, I highly recommend to just hop on the boat, because we say it all the time, the boats are an attraction in my mind, especially that ride from the Wilderness Lodge to the Magic Kingdom is probably my favorite ride of that whole Magic Kingdom area.
Yeah, and I would say that probably 90% of the guests that visit Walt Disney World don't have a clue that those boats go to the Wilderness Lodge and the different places they go. I mean, most people probably have the basic concept that the big boats come from the TTC and bring you to the Magic Kingdom, but all those little, I call them the flag boats, the average guest has no clue that those even exist. I guarantee it.
And thank goodness, and you're right, and you're so right, and thank goodness Disney listened to us, Matt, with our preaching about changing the front of the Magic Kingdom. Because
right.
I'm just going to pretend that they did listen to us, so don't ruin it for me, John, with your jingles over there. But my point is, that was the other thing that I thought that made people not afraid to go to the other resorts, because it was such a hassle. The front of the park was such a cluster, and I won't continue that, but it was such a cluster out there. You felt uncomfortable being out there or trying. It was hard to manipulate your way around there. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It was very stressful, I would call it, because you were funneled in like cattle if you're coming off the monorail or coming from the bus drop-off. I mean, you're just you know, the mass of people, and, you know, when they were doing security there, it just backed up. And like I said, I would call it uncomfortable. You know, you're supposed to be happy, and you're about to enter the happiest place on earth and all that good stuff, and, you know, you're quickly shoulder-to-shoulder with, you know, guests and, you know, just people around, and it just made it for a very very unpleasant feeling. So yes, well, go ahead, John.
I was just gonna say, you know, getting to the Magic Kingdom is probably the biggest pain of all the parks in the first place, you know. I mean, especially if you drive, you have to park out there, then you have to take the tram, then you take a monorail, so you're doing all that, and by the time you finally get to the front, then you have to wait in a 20-minute bag check line and with thousands of other people. Yeah, it had us to the point where we weren't even going to the Magic Kingdom lately, just because of the mess that it was. So it finally, we're gonna head back there soon. So,
and that's the point I was trying to make, is it's not convenient. Like, we keep telling people to use the resort and use all the restaurant in the resort loop, which you really should be, because the restaurants in all those hotels, even the bars, the lounges, are so much better than what's in the park, in my opinion. Don't you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact
it's such an inconvenience, though, with the way the bag check was in front of the Magic Kingdom, I think it was deterring people from going to the resorts, because who wants to go through all that twice?
Right. No, the good point. Once you get through it, you're like, I'm not going through that again. And the fact that, you know, the Magic Kingdom is dry except for Be Our Guest, so you can to
not,
get to a bar at all.
Nope.
No,
Tony's Town Square.
Yeah, yes, the Skipper's. What do you call it?
In Tony's Town Square now, Sellers Beer.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And Liberty Inn.
Yeah, so. you can get alcohol there then. So
okay.
You're going old school, but you were right, but now you're wrong.
yeah. I should have quit while I was ahead. I had forgotten that.
You still can't get a grab and go beer, so
no, you
yeah.
Can't.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I meant, John. Thank you.
You're both.
But if you look at the point I'm also making, it's going in and out, it's a pain in the butt. Now it's not as bad, but if you look at the visual of this Geyser Point Bar and Grill, I mean, if you wouldn't rather go to this, it's wide open, on the lake, relaxing looking. If you wouldn't rather eat there than Pecos Bills for the same money, there's something wrong.
yeah.
Just to calm down a little bit. Like you know how busy, especially in the summertime when it's blazing hot there. You go into the places, you got so many people nudged up next to you. You can't get the hot off you sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to breathe. So that's why I suggest head out and go to the other resorts. And now that they finally somewhat, I think that's another reason why they cleared up this crap, because you didn't want to come and go. You felt trapped in there, because who wants to go through that again? Get behind the people with the five strollers and they're still on their cell phone when they get the bag check and they don't realize. and you want to just scream to the high heavens, like, why aren't you prepared?
Right.
You're not allowed.
No. We all think it, though, and it is crazy when you see people do that. It's like, you know, you've only been standing here for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, and you couldn't have unzipped your backpack and all the little nooks and crannies and all that stuff. I mean, you know, why make it more difficult for security and your fellow guests that are behind you, you know?
Absolutely. I'm like, before I get there, I have that backpack. This is a safari one that I bought at the Animal Kingdom like 10, 12, 15, whatever, years ago. It's still like brand new. It has like 10 pockets on it. I have every one of them suckers unzippered.
Right.
It's like, do that. Be proactive, guys.
Yeah, and in most cases, I'm sure you experience this, Doug, the more you do stuff like that, the security guy that's a woman that's checking your bag tends to, you know, say, look, this guy's squared away. Yeah, they're not really even going to look. Not that you're sneaking anything in. I'm not saying it for that reason, but just for to expedite the process. They're like, look, if this guy went through the trouble to unzip everything, he's probably all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point I made before. It's a pain in the butt. Like when I went to meet you, I already got checked by security and frisked and put through the metal detector once. I walked over to see you. They grabbed me again. I had to go through that again.
Well, look at yourself. I mean, come on.
Yeah. They probably figured you're this shady-looking guy.
No, they said that handsome, good-looking, gorgeous, model-type guy over there, he has to be up to something.
We got to send
him through again. So they were using me as a, you know, they said if they put him through, they could put anybody through is how they were trying to say.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Go on to the next story.
Yes. New specialty cruise takes guests around World Showcase Lagoon. A new specialty cruise from Disney's Yacht Club Resort takes you and up to 9 friends or family around World Showcase Lagoon. Day cruise around the world takes place at midday, departing from Bayside Marina at Disney's Yacht Club Resort on a pontoon boat. The 60-minute cruise travels around Crescent Lake and the World Showcase Lagoon, with bagged snacks and soft drinks included. Private dining can be added to turn the cruise into a lunch experience. Excuse me. I thought this was going to turn into an attraction. Day cruise around the world costs $149 plus tax and gratuity per boat and accommodates up to 10 guests. Reservations can be made right now on 407 WDW Play and can be made up to 180 days in advance. How long did they say this lasts?
An hour, 60 minutes.
What do you think?
I'm not going to trash it because it's an extra and it don't affect me one way or another. So it's something else that you could do. Now, it wouldn't be bad if, say, me, you, Bob, John, our wives, Lisa, Susan, you know, all 10 of us were there. And we decided we wanted to do this. $15 a piece, I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So.
All right. Now that makes all the sense in the world. And I totally agree with you. I was looking at $149 and saying, I'm not dropping $300, but it's $149 plus tax and gratuity per boat.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if we had 10 of us, grab some snacks or whatever, maybe we do the lunch, whatever. But if you're doing it that way, I don't think it would be a bad deal.
No, you're right.
That wouldn't be a bad deal at all, and you get some great photo ops that you usually, you know, wouldn't get. So I imagine they probably pull up in front of every pavilion and kind of idle there for a minute or two, and you get to take as many pictures as you want and stuff. So that would be really cool. You get some pictures of the pavilions from the water. So
yeah, I mean, obviously you got to have, though, in my opinion, you know, 6 or 8 minimum, you know, to make it cost effective. If you just do 2 or 4, it's way too expensive, I think. I wonder, it doesn't say that they specifically dock over there, but I wonder if you can get dropped off over at Epcot if you want to, if they'd pull up beside Spice Road Table or something like that and let you off.
Maybe. you could ask them, you know, grab some of that spicy garlic shrimp and some of those hummus fries and get on board.
There you go.
For that dollar, if you can get that many people on it, this is what I would suggest, too. You're always riding on the friendship boats and all these other boats with other people. If you see another family interested in doing it and they have 6 and you have 4 or 5, maybe you split the cost and do the cruise together.
Yeah. Yeah. If you knew somebody that was on the fence, be like you said, Doug, you know, they only have 4 or something like that. And they're, you know, saying, well, we can't quite afford it. If you could hook up with another family of 4 or 6 or something like that, then everyone could go for $15 a head.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if all of us were down there, all of our families, I think this would be a good little outing.
You know,
it would be fun.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll be honest, like, if when we live there, and I know all of our guests, it's my dream, guys. I'm going, I promise you, one day I will be down there. It's just my township, you know how the government works. I'm waiting for things to be done around here. But anyway, like, if it was even, we're living there, and me, you, John, and Bob decided to do something like this, that wouldn't be bad either. If you split it 4 ways, do something different for research or something for the show.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's a bad deal.
Right, and you could probably commandeer, and the more you say that, the more, you know, depending on who's within earshot of when you're booking this, if you're booking it at the yacht club, or you can probably book it from any resort you're staying at, concierge or whatever. You know, if somebody's around, you might be able to, like I said, entice them to join you and get that price per head down.
Absolutely, it'll be fun. And what's the difference? You're on a site, it'd be like one of those sightseeing buses they go through New York City and Chicago.
Yeah.
Same thing. You get to meet some friends. But I don't think it's a bad deal, and it's something else that you can put on your living list.
Yep, it's going on. Yeah. Let's see. New pricing structure for 2017 Night of Joy. Night of Joy, which is now held at the ESPN Wide World of Sports, has a new pricing structure for 2017. Let me guess, they're cutting prices.
Absolutely, Dad. That's what I thought.
Let's see. This year, guests attending the event will be able to buy a concert or a concert plus theme park ticket for either evening or for both nights. This is useful for guests who already have park entries, such as annual pass holders. Tickets go on sale in early June, and here is the pricing. A single night concert only ticket will be $45 plus tax in advance. 2 night concert ticket only will be $69 plus tax in advance. Then add on 1 day Walt Disney World theme park ticket for only $62 plus tax. Add on theme park ticket option is good for use any 1 day September 8th through the 30th, 2017 at any one of the 4 Walt Disney World theme parks. A 2-night concert plus 1-day add-on theme park advance ticket will also include 1 admission to your choice of Disney's Blizzard Beach or Disney's Typhoon Lagoon for 1 use September 8th through 30th, 2017. Individuals must purchase by August 8th to receive the water park ticket. Groups must purchase by August 25th to receive the water park ticket. And this year, the performer lineup looks like this. Friday, September 8th. Mercy Me, Toby Mac, Natalie Grant, Danny Gokey, Matt Maurer, Colton Dixon, Rend Collective, Zach Williams. Then on Saturday, the 9th of September, Amy Grant, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Kirk Franklin, Jordan Feelers, Crowder, Jeremy Camp, and Ty Tribbett. I read these names every year, and I know none of them.
Well, I do know some of them. I'm an idiot. But
okay.
The Danny Gokey. Yep. And the Colton Dixon, they're both from American Idol.
Okay.
So they were both very good. They're both very good singers. I mean, they really both have really good voices. So, and then I know Amy Grant. She used to be a popular singer and country singer. So I know a few of them.
Yeah. I always get a kick out of this. I think that this is just my opinion. Disney makes a big deal out of this, and it's only two nights a year. I don't know. It just seems to get more weighted publicity than it should, I guess. But I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan. I mean, these Christian singers and groups and all, they're a heck of a lot bigger than you think.
Yeah.
There's a really, really big following for them, Dan. I mean, I was watching the Country Awards a couple weeks ago, and I'm a big Reba McEntire fan because my father loved her, and it's a long story. Me and my wife enjoy her, and she had one of the gospel singers on with her. And I looked her up, and this woman has sold more songs than almost anybody out there right now. It's like how popular they are. We're not into it, so you don't get it, you know? But it's a lot bigger than what you think it is, man.
I know. It's just like me, and I, you know, I don't enjoy NASCAR. I know you do, Doug, and I don't know about you, John, but I don't pay attention to it, so I kind of just, you know, ignore it. But I do realize it's the most attended sporting event of all the major sports. It has record attendance. So just because I don't like something doesn't mean it's not popular. Well, so I get it.
Put it this way: it has to be monster big for Disney to give up two nights at our time for it. So,
yeah, right.
If it wasn't that big, it would be at my local Clementon Lake Park. It wouldn't be at Disney World. So that's the point. It is a big, big deal to a lot of people. So if you guys like it, I wouldn't mind hearing Colton Dixon and Amy Grant and Danny Gokey. The rest, I'm sure, are phenomenal because, like I said, they sell a lot of albums and they do well. But mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun there. Go have some joy on your night.
Yeah.
On your night,
tonight. Yes. Let's see. Mobile order in action at Pandora's Satili Canteen, and which restaurants are next? Disney has today confirmed that My Disney Experience mobile order will be available at three more restaurants and will be available at three more restaurants later this summer. Mobile order is now live at Satuli Canteen in Pandora, the World of Avatar, and will be joined later in the summer by Pizzafari, Flame Tree Barbecue, and Restosaurant. Yes, yeah, easy for me to say. Restaurantosaurus. Expect
that
to
burger
see,
place.
Yes, that one. Expect to see more quick service restaurants and other parks added later in the year. Yeah, so this is pretty cool. I guess you can pay for your stuff via the or see the mobile order or order on your mobile device before you get to these restaurants, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we, you know, this technology, we said they'd be, you know, enhancing it and and using it more. And here we go. They're using it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you load your Disney gift cards on here and prepay for it, too. Or whatever, your credit card or whatever, and just prepay for it.
Yeah, it save you a little bit of time once you get, you know, to the restaurant.
How long is it going to take for some idiot to break into the app and just start ordering food that he ain't paying for?
Yeah.
Blind on the line. You know that guy? Like, I don't get that guy. Like, me and my godson were talking about that, too, with the video games. Like, there's an old game that we used to like that you could still play online. That it was hacked so bad that they got guys doing things they shouldn't be doing, like, how do you get fun at hurting other people on stupid stuff like that? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what ends up happening. Like, who's going to be the idiot to hack into this and order 75 burgers at Pizza Planet and not show up?
Right. Well, it's just like people that, you know, make them viruses and stuff. I mean, really? That gives you joy seeing people, you know, get their computers so that they don't work or have viruses? I don't get that.
It's just very sad, sad individuals. Don't hack our show, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah, that might be the wrong people to antagonize.
We're sorry. You guys are cool.
Yeah, let's see here. We got a little review of Niavai River Journey on Pandora World of Avatar. Let's see. Pandora, the World of Avatar, offers two attractions, the thrilling e-ticket experience, Flight of Passage, and the gentle, friendly, family-friendly boat ride, Niavai River Journey. The approach to Niavai River Journey is spectacular. To get to the ride, you pass through the incredible landscape of Pandora. Floating mountains, waterfalls, and exotic Pandora flora surround you. Near the entrance, a totem woven by the Nieve, the indigenous people of Pandora, invites guests into the grottos towards the river and an eventual encounter with the shaman. We went through this last week of songs.
It's shaman of songs. Shaman.
Yes, shaman. Unlike most theme park lands, the attractions of Pandora have no visible buildings and a very minimal entrance. Both the Nieve River Journey and Flights of Passage have simple FastPass Plus and standby entrances set up by the Alpha Centauri Expeditions Eco Tour Company hosts who make trips to Pandora possible.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sorry, Dan, okay, I'm going to tell my friends. We're going to head over to Alpha Centauri Expedition Echo Tour Company host. Who's with me, guys?
Yeah.
Holy moly, man. That's a mouthful. Let's go to FastPass, guys. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dan.
No, the vast majority of Nieve River Journey queue is outside with no air conditioning. It is covered, however, and equipped with overhead fans, as we discussed earlier in the show. Despite being mostly switchback queue space, the area is full with what looks like Nieve decor, most of it being overhead. Passing through the exterior queue, the line moves into a small cave-like grotto, which is also the location of the FastPass merge point. Here, guests are divided into groups and directed to the loading dock gates. Each boat holds 8 guests with 2 rows of 4 seating. The loading process works much like any other water attraction, such as Splash Mountain or Frozen Ever After. Numbered gates automatically open to allow boarding. Now, see, to me, that looks like Pirates of the Caribbean.
The only difference is, I agree with you, it does too, but if you really think about it, there's only one side you're getting on, and Pirates, there's 2 sides.
Yeah, no, you're right. The boats themselves are nicely detailed, designed to look like they were made of reeds. There are no restraints or any storage areas for personal items. The story goes that Alpha Centauri Expeditions built the rafts during Nieve techniques. After a short safety message, the boat leaves the dock and enters the rich environment of bioluminescent rainforest. Passing waterfalls, your boat is greeted by a Nieve warrior who grants passage to the human voyagers. The boat ride is extremely smooth, with the free-flowing boats rarely bumping the guide rails and very little stacking of boats together. As you travel further along the river, more animals appear, each traveling in the direction of the river. Along with the sounds of the animals, music begins to be heard. Although not audio animatronics, the projected animal figures are impressive, especially in their setting of bioluminescent environment. Their appearance integrates well into the glowing look of the rainforest. The journey builds to an encounter with a remarkable shaman of songs. Like most Nieve, she is nearly 10 feet tall. Music is central in the Nieve culture. Guests observe the shaman in midst of musical ceremony, playing an instrument and singing. Through her music, the shaman sends positive energy into the rainforest, telling the sacred bond with the nature and Nieve and human share. Designed and built by Walt Disney Imagineering, the Shaman of Songs figure is the most advanced and complex audio animatronic ever seen in a theme park. The number of movements on the figure is impressive, with facial expressions being particularly lifelike. Cheeks and even eyelids are all in constant motion. This is one of the first audio animatronics to be able to convey real emotion. Sadly, the encounter with the shaman doesn't last long and marks the finale of the river journey. Rounding the corner, the boat returns to the unload area. A short walk through the cave returns you into the valley outside. The Nieve River Journey can be compared to the recently opened Frozen Ever After at Epcot. Both boat rides feature breakthrough audio animatronics, although the shaman surpasses Elsa in our opinion. River Journey is the gentler of the two, featuring no drops or any thrill component. Unlike the park's other water ride, Cali River Rapids, you do not get wet, something that will please those who enjoy boat rides without being soaked at the end. Bioluminescence is one of the take-home points of the Avatar movie. The River Journey gives guests the opportunity to experience that day or night. This is especially useful for families with young children visiting during the summer, when darkness and bioluminescence in the valley outside will not be visible until late in the evening. There is no question that Neave River Journey is a must-do in Pandora, especially on a first visit. It is relaxing, subtle, and a nice change of pace from a hectic theme park day. The Shaman of Songs is spectacular and has to be seen to be believed, but her presence leaves us wanting more. Imagine a version of Neave River Journey full of Neave figures built to the same level as the Shaman of Songs, a 2017 version of Pirates of the Caribbean, Neave style. Ultimately, River Journey will be one of those attractions that divides guests' opinion. Some will say it has no story and lacks purpose. Others will appreciate and understand its beauty and simplicity. What most will agree on, though, is the real star of Pandora is Flight of Passage, which we'll talk about at another time. So what do you guys think about this? I know we've talked about it, but now that we're getting more details, what do you guys think?
I think you need a break after reading that story. You want to take five?
I quit.
I'm excited about it, but I'm hoping it isn't too short. And that's what it sounded like. And the reason I'm saying this is they've had 18 years to build this. And I'm hoping it ain't like a five-second ride.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. It does sound short.
I mean, I know, but I can't wait to get on it. I'm, like, dying to see the whole land. And I know the whole land is going to be what we're all looking forward to. It ain't just going to be the two rides. But, I mean, what they're saying is you basically see the Shaman and the rest is over.
Yep.
What's your thoughts, Sean?
We're definitely going to do it. It almost sounds kind of like the King Kong ride that I did out at Universal, where the big thing is at the end, you see the cool animatronic, but before that it's there. And, you know, I mean, you like a story. I don't know. It's weird because some of the attractions we all like the most at Magic Kingdom don't necessarily have a storyline or one that was intentionally put on there. I mean, think about Pirates or Haunted Mansion. Neither one of those has a definitive story. So I guess this might be okay. So, I don't know. It's hard to judge until you really do it yourself.
So. No, I'm looking forward to it, but I just hope it isn't. Like, what's the new one? Ariel over at the Magic Kingdom.
Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I always lose the name on that. It's like there's a block in the corner of my brain for some reason. But I really enjoyed that, but I don't think that was long enough either. Do you guys?
I don't know. I found it to be about average. I don't know.
I thought that what I don't like is when they, for something like one of these rides, is like if the queue line is five times longer than what the ride is actually. You know, like you don't mind that when you're doing something as far as it's a excitement ride, a thrill ride. Like you understand that's going to be fast. But when you wait for Living with the Land, at least it takes a while to get through there. You can sit back and relax for a minute. There's nothing worse than when you get on a dark ride, and the minute you get comfortable in the seat, you're onboarding. At least Pirates let you give time, like the article said. Pirates, you can actually kick back and relax for a little bit.
Yeah, that and the Haunted Mansion are both quite long. And Splash Mountain's probably one of the best. I mean, wait an hour for that, but it's a 20-minute ride.
The only thing that gets you is when you're on with that person that's constantly sticking their nails in your side, wanting to know when the drop's coming. And it takes so long to get there. Is he coming yet?
The worst, Doug, is Peter Pan. You wait an hour, 10 minutes for about a, what is that, 50 seconds? So.
If that. But I get what you're saying. But I'm looking forward to this big time. And I know, Dan, you're going to be looking forward to it and disappointed.
No, I'm going to hold my opinions until I actually experience the attractions. But I do agree with your perception that it seems like the author of that article did kind of think that it was on the short side, although they didn't come out and say it directly. We're looking for a little bit more. Yeah. But anyways, moving right along here. The Market at Ale & Compass, now open at Disney's Yacht Club Resort. A new quick-service dining location is now open at Disney's Yacht Club Resort. The Market at Ale & Compass offers breakfast, lunch, and dinner, including a variety of grab-and-go items and made-to-order items. The Market at Ale & Compass opens at 6 a.m., with breakfast served until 11:30 p.m. Yeah, okay. Breakfast menu. They have oatmeal with toasted almonds, brown sugar, cinnamon, dried cranberry, and dried apricots, sticky pecan bun, blueberry muffin, chocolate chip croissant, lemon blueberry scones, plain and everything bagel, multi-grain croissant, hazelnut chocolate croissant, Mickey chocolate brownie, Mickey turtle brownie, chocolate chunk cookies, and banana bread. In the hot display case, you can get an egg white wrap, egg whites, spinach, oven roasted tomatoes, whole wheat wrap, a ham and egg and cheese roll, which is eggs, ham, cheddar cheese on a pretzel roll, turkey egg and cheese roll, smoked turkey, eggs, Swiss cheese, peppers, onions on a ciabatta roll. My finger just moved the story. Spinach and feta pastry, sticky bun. Then in the food cooler, you can grab yogurt and fruit cup, a seasonal fruit cup. And lunch and dinner is served from 11 a.m. through to 11:30 p.m. And in the hot display case for the lunch and dinner, you can get a ham and cheese roll, an Italian panini, which is capicola, mortadella, ham, provolone, and giardina. Okay. Grilled chicken panini. Panini.
All that stuff. That River of Lights ride got him, man. His mouth is slow. Too many
pronunciations here. With that has basil pesto, fresh mozzarella, oven roasted tomatoes on a baguette. A vegetable sandwich is available, which is roasted broccoli and garlic, kale, almonds, golden raisins, chow or provolone cheese, whole grain baguette, and a spinach and feta pastry. Over in the food cooler, you can get tomato mozzarella, roasted vegetables, and quinoa. Yogurt and fruit cups, seasonal fruit cups, cured meat plate, cheese plate, quinoa, and roasted vegetable salad, tuna salad cup, hard boiled eggs, shrimp cocktail, olive cup, hummus cups, credite, tabbouleh cup, smoked salmon, curry chicken salad cup. You can also find wines and a selection of healthy snacks, including grass-fed beef jerky, Luna bars, and other healthy options. We'll stay away from that.
Grass-fed beef jerky. I mean, come on. You gotta eat beef jerky. Do you really care if it's grass-fed?
Right.
I mean, come on.
And also added in this station are, for the refillable mugs, they got Coca-Cola Freestyle machines, which them are pretty cool. You can get all different types of Coke products in them.
Yeah, the market. Oh my God, sons! They got to put five different kinds in it and be stupid.
Yep.
Mix it all up.
And never do that.
Every time they don't like it.
Yeah.
They'll tell you it's good, and then they pour it out after a couple sips, and they'll get a regular Coke.
The Market and Ale Compass also offers a comfortable seating area with complete with power and USB outlets available for guest use. The resort merchandise location, fittings, and fairings continues to be temporarily located in the resort lobby with the refurbished store expected to open in July. Place looks pretty cool. I mean, I don't think I'll be going there for dinner or lunch, but if I happen to be staying there or there for some reason and I was hungry, I would certainly partake in what they have to offer. I mean, I have eaten from the Beach Club's version of this, which is much older, but it's kind of the same setup, I think. It has a place. I mean, it's necessary in those resorts. In fact, they need another restaurant in those resorts, but I guess short of that, this is better than nothing.
Well, my opinion is being you can't use the beach anymore for anything, you might as well build a restaurant on the beach here at the boardwalk area somewhere. Like I said, they ought to put one of those. We were talking about the Geyser Point Bar and Grill. When you guys look at the pictures of that, that's exactly what they need on the boardwalk area that I talked about. We were talking about putting a sports bar or some kind of lounge out on the water there, which I think they're really missing the point with. I think that would be phenomenal. That's what they should put over at this area.
Yeah, I think, you know, for being two of the deluxe resorts, they're, they do have restaurants, and John's favorite resides inside of the Beach Club, or at least in the adjoining hallway to the Beach Club. But I still think they could use a, counter service restaurant in these resorts, or like you're suggesting, Doug, maybe a bar slash food offering of some sort, because, unless you want to sit down to a fine dining, in and around the beach and yacht club, you're stuck with, you know, sandwiches and stuff that we just mentioned, which, again, it is all right if that's what you're in the mood for. But I think that these resorts deserve to have something a little better than this.
Answer this question, guys, before we move to the next story. I know we're getting long here. When does it come that Disney decides to cash in instead of doing a bar or a grill or a lounge on the lake there? When the hell are they going to build the bungalows for these two resorts on that lake? take all the view away from all of us. When is that going to happen?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't think the bungalows are doing as good as they thought they were going to. I don't know if they'd do that there, but who knows?
Yeah, I never thought they'd block the view at the Poly either. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But they did. Did you, John?
No, I anticipated the Poly staying the same as it was. And I mean, the price point those things are, or even the point, you know, the point value, there's just no way in my lifetime I'll ever be staying at them. So.
Now we need to hit that Mega Million or Powerball and we'll all stay at them. But because the new ones that continue with Wilderness Lodge, those new ones, those cabins there on the water are absolutely gorgeous. I mean, that screen in porch that goes all the way around there, you'd have to pry me off that thing. I was in my thoughts when they're going to build some kind of bungalows for the Yacht and Beach Club or Boardwalk over in that area.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's, you know, the land that's just sitting there. And now, like you said, that, you know, they don't have the movies or anything on the beach anymore. They might as well build a structure there or something to, you know, generate revenue, because it's just sitting there doing nothing. But who knows?
How cool would a big lounge like that be right there on that beach area?
Oh, it'd be awesome. And, you know, maybe you could have bands playing or, you know, some sort of entertainment. And that would go great with the whole boardwalk decor there and the nightlife and all of the excitement of the boardwalk. It would be perfect. It would fit in nicely.
Absolutely. Sneak out of Epcot real quick. If it gets too crowded, head over to the lounge and have a couple of drinks there right on the water.
Yep. And, I was just going to say, as you know, you can see the high fireworks from Illuminations, and you can certainly hear it depending from where you are around that area. So, yeah.
The music into it.
There you go.
They do it wishes, or now yep. Happily ever after. They put the music into that restaurant. But that's the other thing. They don't have one viewing area. And I know Illuminations is hard to see because a lot of the stuff goes on in the water. But the music, to me, is what sells Illuminations when I'm walking around, because there's many times where I'm just chilling and listening or walking in somewhere when that starts, you know, because I've seen it so many times. But how cool would it be to have the music piped into a lounge over on Crescent Lake there?
That would be just awesome.
So, what's next, Danny?
Pandora, the World of Avatar, is arguably the most spectacular theme park landscape ever created. You truly feel that you are on a different planet, yet it feels convincingly real. It's a spectacular time to see the beauty of the landscape, and they're just showing a bunch of pictures of the sunset in the parks. Like we said, all the Disney bloggers and vloggers and anyone that was, you know, the who's who of the Disney community was let loose on Pandora last week. And that generated a bunch of pictures and vlog posts and YouTube videos and such. You know, we're really starting to see the land as it exists, and it is pretty spectacular, and seeing it in pictures isn't even, I'm sure, doesn't do it justice. Can't wait to see it myself, but, you know, I'm going to have to wait a couple more months and live vicariously through all these people, but it does look beautiful.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, then everybody's going to want to head over and see Pandora, and we can't wait to see the sunset and sun go down. It's just, I am over talking about it. I just want to get there and see the damn thing.
Yep, we've been talking about it for 2+ years, so we got to finally see this place.
Well, at least John will in a couple weeks, hopefully, and be able to give us a report on it.
Yep, be there in 3 weeks. So.
Well, we're counting
only 3 weeks?
For you. Dennis, only 3 weeks, John?
Yeah, 3 weeks from today is we're heading over there. So
I'm jealous.
Yeah, very much so. The crazy part is we've been going back and forth on our trip, and some days Brenda was talking about moving it up, but I really want to go. I'm looking forward. I want to go at Christmas time this year. That's what I'm really pushing for. I want to do that first week of December, but I don't want to wait that long, if that makes sense.
Go both.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. From your lips to God's ears, then. Well, the thing of it is too, my busy season is all summer and early fall. When it starts to get cold here, because I've waited for summer for so long, I wouldn't mind headed down. And the weather's perfect at that time. You have to admit, John, first week of December is beautiful.
Yeah, generally it is. You're correct.
But last little story here. Have you guys seen any of the pictures of the Portobello?
I have not.
It really looks good. The way they're doing it now is there, you could see how all on the back side, there's going to be, like all the other resorts, there's going to be a big covered porch area for outside dining right on the water, which I think that will really add a lot to Portobello. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. With paddlefish and boathouse, I mean, you know, the that feature, it puts them a step above all them other restaurants. So I think if Portobello wants to compete with those restaurants and, you know, given its size and location, it's still going to have a hard time, I think. It'll always come in third. But having outdoor seating certainly puts them, gives them a chance to attract some business in there. And I'll definitely give it a shot.
Now, what really looks cool, too, is from the pictures I'm looking at, it looks like you can actually, and I could be wrong, so I'm just speculating, and that's what we do here. That's the fun of the show. It looks like you're going to be able to, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dan, because it's been forever since I've been in there. But it looks like now you might be able to walk around and through to the back of the resort, of the restaurant, the way they're setting it up.
Right.
Like the big round rotunda building, it looks like you're going to be able to walk from the outside, walk through that, and go right to the back of the resort and hang out there if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going to have a bar out there or something. I mean, the way it is or the way it was, the big bar was right when you walked in the door, which maybe they'll keep, maybe they won't. But my guess is they'll put some sort of bar out back by the outdoor seating to take advantage of the, you know, the sight lines out there, which are beautiful, as you know.
Yeah, they could go one or two ways. Like the round rotunda building, that was the one that had the barn, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Well, the way it looks now, the way they're designing it is, it looks like that's going to be kept the way it was. But the doors are going to be left open where you could breeze through it from the front and go right out to the back and grab drinks and go out and sit on the patio. So the bar looks like it's going to be there. And the whole back of the restaurant, the entire left, they're putting a new roof on back there.
Wow. So this is a pretty substantial piece of construction. They're not just painting and changing the rugs.
No, it looks like the length of the, you know how the outside of the Rose and Crown Club is, has that long area where you can eat out in the back?
Yep.
It kind of reminds you a little bit of like that. It's a long rectangle porch that they put the entire length of the back of Portobello. So that looks like it's going to be nice where you maybe might be able to go grab a meatball appetizer, grab a couple drinks and go sit out back. And that's what we're into right now. Like, me and Brent were talking, like, with that Geyser Point Lounge and all the different lounges and all. I know I keep saying it, but it looks the way that my trip's going to be trending. I might only be doing, like, one sit-down meal the entire trip, next trip. Man, that might be paddle, but I don't know. But the way it's looking is I'm gonna try to get more bang for my buck and try more places because I want to try everything. And I think that would be the way to do it, to just hop around all the lounges.
Yep. No, absolutely. You've been saying that for quite a while. And John, I think you tweeted out, was that poutine or whatever that's called?
Poutine.
You had some of that poutine earlier. Was it last week you tweeted that?
No, nope, that was Thursday morning.
Yeah, when the idiot got backtracked, he got to spend hours. He's tweeting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
His truck was delayed. So he goes, I get to stay at Disney Springs while you guys are grinding. I'm hanging sheetrock while he's there sitting. And then he had, did you see the boat ride with his feet up? That was like all in salt balloon, wasn't it?
Yeah, he seems to enjoy putting those tweets out a little bit more than the regular tweets when he gets.
Yeah, the truck got delayed from Miami for 5 hours. The guy got sideswiped by another tractor trailer. With all that going on, and he was fine. The truck was delayed that long. So what am I going to do for 5 hours? Am I going to sit at the warehouse like the other two goobers? Heck no. So I drove over to Disney Springs. Nah. I'm not going to sit there for 5 hours and do nothing. So, I headed over to Disney Springs and hung out for, I think, 4.5 hours, walked all around Saratoga Springs and took the boat back from Saratoga Springs to Disney Springs and enjoyed lunch, had the poutine at the poutine stand there right by World of Disney. So, it was good. The French fries are just French fries with brown gravy, nothing really special. The cheese curds were good. I'd get it again, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get it or anything like that. And I don't think it's probably as good as maybe one you'd get, you know, walking around Toronto or anything, but still, it was different. So.
Over at Le Cellier, the poutine they have there.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought poutine's supposed to be more like street food, you know, and sometimes when fine dining establishments take street food and try to recreate it, it sometimes falls a little flat. So,
the braised ribs that I got up in Victory, I don't know what they called it. They just called it the braised short ribs over the French fries. It was poutine or whatever it was. It was phenomenal. So, that was good. But now, if you'd have known you had 5 hours, you could have gone into the parks.
Well, I was a little leery about parking my truck somewhere. So
you could have took the boat up the river to Riverside and then got on the bus and going over to the park.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, but I'm still, you know, I wanted to walk past my truck and see if at any time there was a security guard out there perplexed about it or anything like that. So, I wanted to stay somewhat close to, because, that's all I need to come back and DEA and FBI is out there. What's this truck? So,
Or your truck was towed. You explain that one to your boss.
Exactly.
But I was getting poutine, boss. I was getting poutine.
Yeah, but that, as jealous as I am, though, it does give me some joy when somebody I know is at Disney. So I do appreciate the tweets, even though they do aggravate me that I can't be there. But at least I know somebody I know is enjoying themselves.
See, I don't mind the tweets, man. I just mind the sarcastic text that we get. See, they don't know that the tweets are going out to everybody, which is fine. But then he has to nudge me with 3 or 4 texts during the day. Like, natter, 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 I'm walking around the springs. maybe I ought to start putting up the nasty text that he sent me.
Uh-oh.
No, but anyway, John, no, I'm glad you had a good time. I was happy for you. Did you end up doing all your deliveries that day, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the truck got there at 12:30. I left at 1 o'clock and got over to Tampa at 2:30. But fortunately, I didn't have that bad of a day, so I still finished by 7 or so.
Well, that's pretty good. And you got to spend the day at the Springs, and the wife was probably pissed at you.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. What are you going to do? What do you want me to do?
If I
would have sat there at the warehouse, you guys would have been like, well, why didn't you go somewhere and do something? So, I was doing it for the show.
Is that how we talk then? Who you could do? See how he thinks we speak? You see how
What did he call his workmates? Goobers? What did he call
them? Goobers? He's such a nice guy, isn't he? John. Anyway, speaking of nice guys, you need to go over to Garden Grocer and check those guys out on your next Disney trip. Please use them. Go to our website. Eventually, we're going to have the tag up. And go over and get some water, wine, beer, and enjoy your Disney trip and not have to drive to the local supermarket. Don't you guys agree with that?
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then also, if you need a place to stay, head over to our website at It's All in WDW. Hit the tab for David's Vacation Club rentals. We couldn't recommend them more. So what you could do is you can head over to David's, book your resort, and then call the Garden Grocer and have all your food waiting for you. What a better combination.
Yeah. Take care. One-stop shopping.
Absolutely. So, guys, please head over to our sponsors. If you could, please head to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. You guys, we haven't had any in a few weeks, so we'd really appreciate you going over there. Even if you want to yell at us, we'd still appreciate it. If you could, please find John at Beer Solo. You can find, or the Weekly Pint. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW, our wonderful website. Even John, our goober buddy, wrote a couple articles this week over at our website, It's All in WDW. He did a good job. He told us how for adults to intermingle with the children when they're trying to visit the character. So get a load of that article. And then also how to drink some cold, refreshing beer over at the Japan Pavilion. So please head over to our website, It's All in WDW. Check out the articles. And you can follow me at good old Grumpy 6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. Everybody have a safe and blessed week, and we will talk to you real soon.
Adios.
Bye-bye, folks.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools, close out our tabs, and call it a night here at the pub. We really appreciate you joining us. But if you could, before you leave, if you need a Disney vacation booked or any vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Also, if you need a scooter while you're in the Central Florida area for any of the Disney theme parks or anywhere in Central Florida, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you real soon.